God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31. Yet because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God, that is, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Take the phrase because of him and think back to verses 28 and 29 and the call to faith from God. Because of him, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is just the right place to talk about a Greek language concept, which is the preposition in with a noun in the dative case. We have it here in the phrase in Christ Jesus, which in Greek is en Christo Jesu. The word in takes us into a circle or a sphere in Greek. Here the circle is Christ. Now in Greek, you cannot be both inside and outside a circle, like 1 foot in and 1 foot out. You're either in or out. So being in Christ is to receive every single benefit from Christ. You can't receive only some of his blessings and not all of them. In the same way, a man cannot reject some of Christ or part of what Christ did without rejecting everything from Christ. Now this concept, known as the dative of sphere, for example, in Robertson's Greek Grammar on page 589, is, quote, so simple an idea that it appears in every variety of connection with other uses of the word en. This is the sphere of Christ, where God has brought us through faith, and we hear true wisdom, which is the wisdom of God. And there we are given true righteousness, which is the righteousness Christ supplies. It is there that we are sanctified, which is to be set apart by God for a holy purpose. And it is there, in the sphere of Christ, only in Christ and nowhere else, that we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of our sins. This is how the Holy Scriptures teach us Christian doctrine. Doctrine is not an opinion or a point of view, but the teaching of the Word of God. Now, while some people believe that Jesus' death and resurrection only demonstrate God's redeeming love, the Bible teaches us something much more specific. Christ's death and resurrection brought that love of God to us directly because Jesus paid the terrible price for our guilt with his life. He was killed in our place. He suffered the agony of hell in our place. But his sacrifice was guiltless and innocent. There was no sin in him at all, no flaw. And after Jesus died, the Father raised him from the dead. Therefore, Jesus is called our Redeemer. Now, he is our Redeemer in power because he is God and has the power to redeem the whole human race. The Psalm describes this payment from man's point of view. The ransom for their souls is costly. Any payment would fall short. That's Psalm 49, verse 8. But then 7 verses later, he draws our attention to God. But surely God will redeem my life from the power of the grave. Yes, he will take me to himself. Psalm 49:15. Christ proved his power over the grave by raising a boy and a girl and a well-known man and friend of his, Lazarus, all from the dead. Jesus is also our Redeemer in affection. He is connected to us by the kinship, the family connection of his flesh with ours. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, John 1:14. And about his crucifixion, he said, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. That's John 6:51. Now the eating of this flesh is faith itself, for he also said, I told you that no one can come to me unless it, that is faith, is given to him by my Father, John 6:65. Jesus is also our Redeemer in effect, because he put forward his own blood to pay the price of our sin. And the blood of Jesus, John teaches, purifies us from all sin, 1 John 1:7. And somewhere else it says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Besides redeeming us from the power of sin, death, and the devil, He also continues to redeem us. Daily, He redeems us from various temptations and adversities. Finally, He will redeem us from the fallen world, corrupt and perverse as it is. And He'll transfer us into His kingdom and the place He has prepared for us there. And the psalm also says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those He has redeemed from the hand of His foe." Psalm 107, 1 and 2. Paul concludes our chapter with a quote from the prophet, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." That's Jeremiah 9:23. Paul will bring this encouragement about proper boasting more into view in the second letter, 2 Corinthians 10:11 and 12. But the point is good to remember here. If anyone wants to boast, don't try to boast about or be proud of your own wisdom or your noble birth or your secular authority. If you really want to boast, boast about Jesus. And make it a memorable, cheerful boast, the kind of boast that invites people to trust in the same gospel victory, the same Savior, the same Redeemer. God loves me dearly, grants me salvation. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. I was in slavery, sin, death, and darkness. God's love was working to make me free. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. He sent forth Jesus, my dear Redeemer. He sent forth Jesus and set me free. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Jesus my Savior Himself did offer. Jesus my Savior paid all I owed. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.